difficult to know what to preach about always, but something kind of came to my attention the past few weeks about the nature of God that I thought would be a good lesson that will almost close out this year. Hopefully you'll be able to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Many people throughout the years have wondered about whether God changes or not. Whether God changes or not. In other words, was the God that Adam and Eve worshipped the same God that the Israelites worshipped? Was that the same God that Job worshipped? Was that the same God that Malachi worshipped? Was that the same God that Peter and Paul worshipped? And is it the same God that we worship today? Has His nature changed? Has His character changed? Is He the same or not? Because many will say, well, when I look through the Old Testament, it seems like that's a very different God than the God I read about in the New Testament. He seems to be different. His nature seems to be different. And is that true? Is it the same God? Has His nature changed? Has His character changed in any way? And if so, we need to know in what way, don't we? Wasn't too long ago that Brother Tanner was talking about Romans chapter 11. And we're going to use one verse from Romans chapter 11 as our main text today. And then we're going to be looking throughout the entire Bible from beginning to end to look and see, examine God's Word to tell whether God has changed His nature and His character. In Romans chapter 11, in particular verse 22, the context of Romans chapter 11, of course, is talking about the Gentiles being the wild olive branch, being grafted in to the tree, and how God has decided who can be saved, and it's always by obedience, being faithful to Him. And regardless of whether they were Jews or Gentiles, if they weren't faithful to Him, if they weren't the natural olive or the wild olive, either one, they would be lost. Notice now verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Notice the if part there. Now, we like to really focus on the first part. Consider the goodness of God. But we sometimes don't want to think about the severity of God. And often, you will find people in the world that will say, well, the God of the Old Testament, that's the severe God. The God of the New Testament, that's the good God. And is that true? Because it's an important point and a very, very relevant question. So I want us to examine, first of all, the Old Testament and see what God was like in the Old Testament, and then compare those characteristics to the New. I'd like for us to think, first of all, about, you know, the world focuses on how severe God was in the Old Testament, and He was. Look at, for instance, Genesis chapter 6. We remember the days of Noah and what God decided to do during those days. In Genesis chapter 6, notice verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. It's been estimated there were millions and millions of people died in the flood of Noah's day. Millions of people. And eight saved. Some people say, that's pretty severe. And so they look at that God of the Old Testament and they say, that's not the God of the New Testament. That God was too severe. But we look at some of the other things that God did in the Old Testament. that show that on occasion he is severe. We remember about Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 19. We know about those two cities. They were very, very wicked. But they had a chance to be saved, didn't they? The people of Noah's day, they had a chance to be saved. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah had a chance to be saved. In Genesis chapter 19, notice verse 24 and 25. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Those people had a chance to be saved, though. Yes, that was pretty severe judgment, wasn't it? But he didn't just do it for no reason. There was a reason God was severe then, wasn't there? Remember about the rebellion of Korah, those people in the wilderness who were destroyed because they rebelled against God? There was the case of Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10. Remember, they were priests who did what? They offered strange fire, or as some versions say, profane fire or unauthorized fire. And immediately they were struck down dead. And people say, oh, that seems awfully severe. But they knew what they did was wrong. They knew it. So is the God of the Old Testament severe? Yes. The Bible says he was. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold the goodness and severity of God. Yes, he was severe. But is that the only picture we have of God in the Old Testament? Is that the only painting or description we have of God in the Old Testament times? Definitely not. Look at what he did for Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is what it says. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. And he talks about how in the garden all they had to do was tend the garden. It was a paradise. Things were there for them. That doesn't sound like a severe God. That was cruel. He didn't torture people. He was a good God, wasn't he? He made the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. But they had a choice, right? They had a choice as to what they were going to do in that garden. And they made the wrong decision. But he was a good God. He was a very good God. But notice some other places in the Old Testament where we see the same thing. He blessed Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And we are going to be spending a lot of time in the Bible this morning. Don't apologize for that in any way. But Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we see again how good God is. He says, I will make you a great nation, referring to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That doesn't sound like a God that's totally severe. Not at all. Remember what he did for the children of Israel in the wilderness? What did he do for them? He provided manna from heaven, right, for them food. And what did he tell Moses to do? First time they had no water for themselves, for their cattle, livestock. So the first time he told Moses to strike the rock. Moses struck the rock and water came out. Miraculously, water doesn't usually just spew out of a rock. So God provided for them food and water. Does that sound like a God that's never good? That's a good God. Many years later, during the time of Esther and the Jewish people, read with me Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8 and verses 16 and 17. Esther chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor, and in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. They saw how God was good to the Jewish people, and as a result, many became Jews. So was God never good during the days of the Old Testament? Of course not. He is a good God, but He's also a severe God. Well, what about the New Testament, though? Are things different? Did God change from the days of Malachi to the days of John the Baptist? That's a valid question. Did His nature change? Did His character change during that period of time? You know, there was about 400 years between the end of Malachi's prophecy to the time that John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Did God change during that 400-year period? That's a question we need to really examine, because it's a very important question. Did His nature change? Did His character change? Now, we know the Bible depicts God as a personality, as a God, as a being of three parts, we sometimes say. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And of course, during the days in the New Testament, we have God coming to earth in human form. How did He act then? What did He do? What characteristics did He show? We know that God was a very loving God. And I'm sure I could ask any of the young people to quote John 3:16, and I'm sure they could all do it. I think it was Gus Nichols who used to, when he would quote this particular scripture, he would emphasize one word more than any others, and this shows the goodness of God. He would say, "For God so loved the world." That's what He did. He so loved the world that He did what? That He gave His only begotten Son. God was a good God. He is a good God. When Jesus came into the world, He cared for those who were hurting. In Matthew chapter 11, we read this verse last week. Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Some of John's disciples had came to Jesus wanting to know about Him, and Jesus says, "Take this message back to John the Baptist. Tell him this: the blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus cared about people who were hurting. He cared about people who were blind. He cared about the lame. He cared about the lepers. He cared about those who were deaf. He cared about those people who were grieving. He cared about them. Jesus was and is a very good God. He was very compassionate. How many of us can ever forget the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in John chapter 11? Jesus showed how compassionate He was there. Remember when He came to Mary and Martha, came to the house, and Lazarus was dead? We have that very short verse that says Jesus wept. Our Lord wept because He was compassionate. He was and is a good God. But I want us to focus the rest of our time on the other aspect of God in the New Testament, and that is the fact that God is still a severe God. When Paul wrote Romans chapter 11, verse 22, when he said, "Behold the goodness and severity of God," he was talking about God's character through the ages. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed in any way. He is still the same God He's always been. You mean God is severe in the New Testament? He certainly is. We see a few of those cases Now, Matthew chapter 21, we see Jesus in the temple, and we see Jesus getting angry. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Then Jesus went to the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Some people have a hard time with understanding that's Jesus. But it was Jesus. That's exactly what he did. He was angry. He was so angry when he went into the temple, God's house, the house of God, and saw these people turning it into a place of merchandise and retail, that he was angry and he drove them out. This word implies something that was pretty fierce on his part. He was angry and he drove them out of the temple. That's how angry he was. Can God be severe? He sure can be. Remember the account of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? What happened to them? The two conspired to do what? Lie to the Holy Spirit, didn't they? They conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit. Remember, they were asked, "Well, did you sell this piece of land for such and such amount?" He said, "Yeah, we did." Remember, they had conspired to lie, as if God didn't know that they were going to lie, as if God couldn't read their minds and tell that they lied. And they both, of course, died on the spot. What was the result of that? Do you remember? Many people believed. That was the result. God's severity resulted in many people believing and becoming New Testament Christians. God's severity. Is that the only place, though? I want us to think briefly about two very important chapters in Matthew's account of the gospel, Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. In Matthew chapter 24, the very end of that chapter, we have Jesus telling an account about the faithful and wise servants as opposed to the one that wasn't faithful and wise. Verse 47, "Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's pretty severe. And some people just cannot put those two concepts of God together. The goodness of God and the severity of God. And yet the Bible, time after time after time, says that's the same God. Yes, he's a good God, but he's a severe God. Isn't that the idea of heaven and hell? Good God, severe God. That's a biblical concept. We all like to think about the good God. We all like to think about heaven. But thinking about the opposite is difficult. It wasn't too many years ago, the religious writer for the main paper in Chicago, I don't know if it's the Chicago Tribune or the Times, whichever is in Chicago, his name's Martin Marty. He writes a lot about what's happening in the world of religion. A few years ago he wrote, "Preachers quit preaching about hell and no one noticed." That is so true today. So many people in the religious world don't even believe in hell. Yeah, they believe in the goodness of God, but they don't believe in the severity of God. They want the one, but not the other. And yet the Bible has those two characteristics of God side by side throughout the Bible. And if you're going to throw out the severe side of God, you have to throw out the good side of God as well. Because hell is going to last as long as heaven lasts. If hell doesn't last forever, neither will heaven. They last exactly the same time. Yes, God is good. But yes, God is severe. Turn over to Matthew 25 now and notice the parable of the talents. We've read this so many times about the parable of the man that had five talents, one that had two talents, one that was given one, and the one that had only the one went and buried it because he was afraid of his master. Notice verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a severe side of God. He has prepared a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He has prepared a place that he calls outer darkness. As dark as we can imagine. And that's what he calls it. No, God has not changed his character. The God that Adam and Eve talked to in the garden was the same God that blessed Abraham. The same God that destroyed the firstborn in Egypt. Same God that destroyed Achan and his family. It's the same God that blessed the Jews and Esther. The same God that drove the money changers out of the temple. The same God that cured those who had been hurt in healing. It was the same God. He hasn't changed his character in any way. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the writer tells us that in very plain terms, where he says, verse 8 of Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He hasn't changed. Remember from John chapter 1, we know that Jesus has been around from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to the Christ, the Anointed One. Yes, there is a good side of God, but there's also a severe side of God. And that means that there's going to be a good place for us to end up, but there's a possibility of a severe place. In John chapter 5, and this will close our lesson today. In John chapter 5, we have these words. Beginning in verse 24. This will serve as our invitation for us to think about both the goodness and the severity of God. Notice verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and that shall come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's our God. Good but also severe. Good to those who have done good, and severe to those who have done evil. Yes, we will have to give an account. The Bible is very clear about that, isn't it? I want to live in such a way that I'll be able to be resurrected and be able to enter to heaven. Doesn't everybody want that though? But the Bible says not everybody's going to be saved. Jesus himself said most people will be lost. Most people, Jesus said, will be resurrected to condemnation. Because the way was easy, it was broad, and it's sad, but that's true. So we see the two sides of God. God hasn't changed. His character hasn't changed. His nature hasn't changed. Behold the goodness and severity of God. This morning, if you want to become a New Testament Christian, we encourage you to do so. We encourage you to place your faith in Jesus and to repent. Turn your life around, make that great confession, and be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Or if you've done that, we encourage you, if you've not been faithful, to make that confession that you want to turn things around in your life and you need the prayers of the congregation. If you need to respond, please do as we stand and sing this song.